Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. This week it's a show, well, it happens twice a week. And this week, four, start to finish,
what?
Old guys talk about old games.
You say that, but one of our guests says might get up and leave.
That's
in
true.
The middle of it. Mm-hmm. It might be Josh.
Probably. In fact, I think I'm already like the 0.1% now, so you have to round up. So really,
Damn it.
I can just leave right now.
See, you fucking clock watcher.
I'll do the Josh voice the entire episode. It'll be like he never left.
So this week will be the continuation, so part two of Final Fantasy II.
So if this is your first Tadpog episode you've ever listened to,
go back one.
Stop.
If you've played Final Fantasy and this is your first Tadpog, just go back one. Mm-hmm. If you haven't played Final Fantasy and haven't listened to Tadpog, go listen to Burger Time.
Definitely. No matter what, go listen to Burger Time, because that is like one of my favorite fucking episodes.
So this week, I give the whole intro, the whole spiel, like IGN's 14th ranked game, Final Fantasy II. We gave a long breakdown last week.
A Palamon.
Also 10 minutes ago. And we left off with the death of Palamon Porum.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that... I'm your beard host, Tyler. Last week, we discussed how we wanted to be buried. We're going dark. We're looking into our dark sides.
Miller didn't want to do this. Just for the record.
So we're not going to do this?
Just for the record, we're either not doing it or...
I thought you said it was okay.
No, it's fine. I don't know what the hell I'm going to... I have no idea where I'm going to go with this.
I missed the burial episode.
Mm-hmm. You did miss the burial episode. Do you want to tell us? You can give both answers.
How do you want to be buried?
If you want.
I don't want to be buried. I want my body to be donated to science. I want somebody to get...
You're going
to
pay all that money?
Jeez.
No, you
Johnny
can...
Johnny Paycheck over here with all the money.
Johnny Paycheck. Are you my grandpa?
The University of Kentucky takes bodies. There's another university somewhere nearby. And think Nashville, the body farm, will take them. All you have to do is pay transportation costs. And no... So, like...
Fuck that, I'll drop them off myself.
But how much is that? No, like, seriously, how much is the transportation cost?
I feel like if it's a nickel, it's too much. That's bullshit.
You're giving them a goddamn body.
Exactly. You can't drive a van up here and pick it up.
I want to see old Nicole with Josh's dead body over her shoulder, and she just walking the halls of UK. Look, I gotta drop off my dead husband.
I was thinking you were strapped to the roof of the car like a mattress. She's got her arm just thrown over the top of the car.
That's like the old dead lady in Vacation, National Lampoon Vacation. It's raining on him. He's just sitting in a rocking chair.
But this week, so we talked about burial.
Yeah.
Now we'll talk about, your whole family is about to be murdered. But this super villain is about to murder all of your family and friends. But instead, you can save them all. By committing suicide. You can commit suicide however you want, but you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to commit suicide, how are you going to do it?
I mean, everyone knows my answer.
Snoo snoo.
Death by snoo snoo. Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
I want to be shot out of a cannon. I want to be shot out of a cannon. I want to be shot.
So no, we've talked about this in our personal lives.
We have.
I don't think we talked about it in Tadpog.
No, I don't think we've talked about it.
You were reticent to tell us in real life.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want them to steal it. I was worried I was going to be like, I want to be shot from a cannon. Everyone's going to be like, oh no, I want to be shot from a cannon.
I'm going to do it before you do, Dave.
I think we kind of covered this before. He wants to be dropped out of the atmosphere into a giant blender.
That's how we... That's my
funeral. That's how you get rid of my body.
To kill two birds at once.
No, that's just sick, man.
We shoot you out of the cannon into the blender.
I might not die the first time you shoot me out.
It's true.
You might have to load me in a few times.
We'll have to put some high-tech sensors on you to make sure your heart is stopped.
Like in Mythbusters. That's how I want to commit suicide, on Mythbusters.
Pretty good. All right.
And they get some use out of your body. They can examine it and bust a myth. Or not.
You can point the cannon at the body farm.
Fuck your transportation fees. Boom.
through the window of the lab in the UK.
Two birds, one stone.
Transportation fees my ass.
I hope whoever's controlling the cannon like mistakes UK with like a fancy restaurant or something.
And for dessert tonight, we have all shit.
No.
Check, please.
Man, I hope everyone else has madcap suicide antics as well. Look like the next three answers are, I don't know, I guess I'd just shoot myself.
So joining us, like last episode, I don't think we have an introduction, we just kept going, Sean Miller and Josh Nance.
I'm your bespectacled host, by the way.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, man.
Miller also has spectacles.
And a beard. I'm like the best of both hosts. Mm-hmm.
So when Dave and I inevitably have a baby, it'll be another Miller.
That's what we'll name it. Another Miller.
So you want to go first? Or?
Well, I can. I guess I'll fight the supervillain. It's a rogue death, right?
Okay.
You introduced the supervillain, so I'll go down fighting.
That's kind of a bullshit answer. But okay. That's fine. If you're happy with your bullshit answer, then we'll move on.
So in the show The Highlander, mm-hmm. when you take somebody else's head, when you decapitate them after a sword fight, you absorb their power. And there are a lot of other immortals around, and that's, you know, in the end there can be only one. One time in the show, they run across an immortal who is essentially retarded.
Yes, I remember that.
And they, like, he takes him, Duncan's buddy, whose name I can't remember, takes him under his wing and tries to take care of him. But at the end, he realizes that he's going to be hunted. I mean, he's mentally handicapped, but he realizes that he's going to be hunted for his head his whole life. He doesn't want to have to be in fear. He doesn't want to have to run away. So Richie was his name. Mm-hmm. He goes with Richie. They're out at a train yard. And he's like, it's okay, Richie. You don't have to worry about me anymore. Everything's going to be okay. He goes, lays his head down on the train tracks. And a train runs over and decapitates him. And Richie absorbs his power.
I'm pretty sure you're thinking of Quantum Leap.
No.
Shit. That was Scott Bakula. Right. I just watched him acting and thought he was mentally handicapped. No. So
I actually watched that episode not too long ago.
So. So I think that's what I'm going to go with because I remember that.
Because you're an immortal.
Because I'm a mentally handicapped immortal. And I want Tyler to get all my power.
And we're already working on another Miller. Yeah,
Trainsy decapitates you.
Yeah.
I would volunteer for what would normally probably be unethical, but medical procedures that could be very beneficial but otherwise unethical to experiment on people. So just very dangerous medical experiments that could possibly lead to some
that
kind of
may give you a superpower.
But will probably kill me, and I guess I'm dead.
That's a super patient. Like, that's a super, super patient supervillain. All right, I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll wait till we get the one that kills you.
He says any way you want.
Any way we want? Okay, take up smoking. slowly drink myself to death.
I'm going to eat a bunch of blowfish and see what happens.
Nothing but hot dogs from here on out.
Poisonous hot dogs. The one, just one out of 1,000 hot dogs will kill you. That's a science fact. They come out of the sea that way. I just love the mental image of like these fishermen pulling this giant net from out of the ocean, just open it up, and hot dogs are just flopping around on the deck.
It's like Deadliest Catch, but with hot dogs.
But with hot dogs, let's do that.
On the Baltic Sea, where hot dogs are best.
Let's kickstart that.
And risk their lives.
All we do is take seeds. We just do Deadliest Catch. It's just we replace every crab with a hot dog.
The tank's too full of hot dogs. They don't know if they can make it back to land.
No, they refer to them as crabs in the show. Just any visual.
So you're just photoshopping, basically, the...
Yeah.
all the crabs.
I mean, you're taking every individual hot dog and sizing it, throwing some back to make sure they're big enough.
A government Kickstarter of $10 million so we can CGI in hot dogs over the crabs in every episode of Deadly
One Fetch. Episode.
Just one?
Just one. Trust us, we need that
this
much
is gonna,
money.
This is going to be a hit. We're going to have to do the whole series.
It's pretty good.
Final Fantasy II.
Back at it.
Okay.
Where we last left off.
Palom and Purim bravely sacrificing themselves, mm-hmm. making the player cry.
Yeah.
And Cecil's able to live on.
Yeah, somehow Cecil's fine. Cecil's like, all right, we can open this door now, magically. Magically, the door works now, by the way. Oh, these two laid their lives down? Unlock.
So if you leave the castle, and do you find Cain, where he's like unconscious and he wakes up and... Oh, the Baron was controlling my mind. I'm sorry for what happened. Let me join your party.
Yeah, Cain shows up again.
Cain and then Cid, who's also in Baron.
Yeah.
Cid, who's kind of a father figure to Cecil, is a...
He's a father figure more to... Well, he is Rosa's father, isn't he?
You're right. He is Rosa's father. I forgot about that. So Cid, he's a father-in-law figure.
Cid is the reoccurring... character in every Final Fantasy game, mm-hmm. almost. I think I haven't played every single one of them, but he is in almost every Final Fantasy, some mm-hmm. version of him.
Yeah. Which I like, but don't understand. I mean, I'm glad it's there, but I want to know what the driving force behind that was. Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
But then Rosa joins you and Cain joins you, which Cain... You get little glimpses of it all throughout the game, but like he's also in love with Rosa.
Oh, he's crushing. He's got a mad crush on Rosa. Mm-hmm. But you know, Rosa only has eyes for Cecil.
Only for that prince costume and purple hat.
Mm-hmm.
So are we sure that Rosa is Cid's daughter? Because Cid's pretty much a fucking dwarf.
He is like a dwarf, yeah.
And Rosa's this like very... voluptuous, beautiful gosh. Woman.
Wow.
Well, you know, and like
I never got voluptuous looking at that little screen.
look at the curves on that spot.
Oh, God.
Play the 3D remake of it.
Okay.
She's,
no, I had to picture middle school Josh beating off to Rosa.
Oh, God, those 16 bits.
She's using aim again. Oh, so many arrows. Oh.
There was a lot I could jerk off to in middle school, so I wouldn't be surprised. I probably could.
Yeah, Xena, Baywatch, whatever was on TV when I got home.
Let's not throw Rosa in with Xena and Baywatch.
No, dude, it's fine.
I don't think so.
It's the same. It's
Baywatch,
same.
You know, Adam's Family NES video game.
There were, in the Earthbound strategy guide, there were two pictures that I could jerk off to.
That is ridiculous. What were they of?
I know what scene what you're talking about.
They were actual photographs of people. One was...
Fucking. Yeah. Center spread.
Should have got the strategy guide.
It was a Mr. Saturn. Yeah. Like, that's hot.
There's a picture of a woman sunbathing, and she's got her... she's sitting down, has her back to you, but you can see that she's not wearing the top of her bathing suit. And just the thought of that, man. And then I think there's another one. It looks like an 80s punk girl.
Yeah, like, she has like a cowboy hat and like short shorts.
Yeah, and
sunglasses.
How did Nintendo censors everything? How are they like topless woman stamp of approval? Ship it out.
No idea, but it got in there, and I jerked off to it.
But it got in there, and I got in there.
That's the name of part two for Final Fantasy II.
And now that page in the strategy guide won't open anymore.
It's forever sealed.
Oh, man.
So Rosa.
That's pretty good. I'm glad you said that, John.
So Rosa.
Good. You'll have to tell it again when we get to Earthbound.
I thought it was weird that you mentioned that she has the aim ability.
Yeah.
Which is, she's a white mage.
Yeah, but she uses a bow and arrow for whatever reason. So that's her thing.
I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, and the aim ability is just a stronger use. It's still pretty useless. I mean, it does a little more damage. And her arrows normally, well, a lot of them will have status debuffs,
mm-hmm.
like a mute.
When they work.
Her attacks work. Miss a lot, though.
Yes,
and it does take a turn to use aim and then attack. For me, it was worth it because she fucking missed all the time when I attacked with her. Mostly, I healed, though,
yeah,
with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she is your party healer.
Yeah. So, from here, you decide, now that the water crystal and the wind crystal are both gone, you need to go find the earth crystal, I believe.
I think that's right.
Which is... I can't remember the name of the city.
I can't remember the name of it either, but it's where Yang lives, right?
Yeah, it's where Yang lives.
Yeah, okay, good call.
You're going to Yangtown.
Yangtown, yeah.
Yangton.
And Yangtown is essentially home to all these monks.
Fabul.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Yeah.
So you've got to go to Fabul. And now that you are with Cid, you have access to the first of many incarnations of the airship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Cid, like, I like the character Cid.
God, he's fucking
in
worthless.
Battle, he is awful.
God, he is worthless. Yeah. He is a little more valuable than Edward.
Nah, yeah.
Just a little bit, though.
He just gets such shitty equipment.
Well, and his ability is shitty. It's unlimited peep. Oh. It's just unlimited. Just, what's this enemy weak to? Oh, fire. Next round. Yeah. I wonder if he's still weak to fire. Yep, guess what? He is.
Because he's got goggles.
God.
Gotta use them goggles and that hammer.
Shitty fucking hammer.
He's really bad.
So fucking worthless.
So Fabul.
Yeah, you meet Yang on the mountain.
You're trying to travel, yeah, and you meet him halfway through. Because his abilities are cool, because he can kick.
Kick. Yeah, that's really good because it attacks all enemies. You can use it endlessly. So he never runs out, attacks all enemies, does...
physical type damage, so you're not having to worry about, oh, is he going to be weak or strong to fire or blizzard or whatever.
And he's your first two-handed fighter, so he has claws on each hand and he takes two attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I played this, I didn't name any people their original names when I played through.
Yeah, I should have asked that because I always do. I always keep the names the way that they're the developer.
I do now.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, no. It was always, the same. It was always my friends. Yeah. So
the pretty girl. Oh, this is the girl I have a crush on.
Yep, exactly.
But see, then everyone would know.
Yes,
all your friends coming over and checking out your Final Fantasy records.
Do you know how many
what
times?
What have we been doing the last week? Yeah.
Well, so that's what I thought too, because I was like, if somebody comes over and sees me playing Final Fantasy, I want them to know who I'm talking about. So when Yang joins my party, I'm like, I'm gonna name him after Josh. But Josh was a super popular name in middle school. So I was like, well, this is going to be Josh N. So people will know I'm talking about, hey, this guy, this is Josh Nance.
So when you were like, casting shade on me, you really shouldn't have, because people were literally coming over and like checking out your
No one did. Oh. I was worried if someone would.
One day.
I wanted them to know.
Well, this is also Matt Barger's cartridge. So I sure as fuck wasn't going to be.
It's a double-edged sword, because if you're not friends with this girl anymore, you've got to play through again. That's how I played through so many times Final Fantasy III.
Well, yeah, what if the
just breaking
he
hearts.
Didn't bother about rename cards for many players.
Well, you wouldn't get to that point. You would get like halfway through and then, fuck, you gotta start over.
Then you think Tara's gonna be your, like, I need to name the girl I have a crush on after Tara, but then you name yourself after Locke, and that doesn't go anywhere.
But
you have to restart again.
This does bring up something we hadn't talked about in the game, which is naming way.
You're right. Yeah, you can rename any character anytime, just talk to a naming way.
Yep, and there's naming ways in basically every town, I think, and a whole cave full of them later on in the game, but we'll save that.
You find out where all the naming ways come from.
Yeah.
Man, that's fucked up. Yeah, but
I think I missed that.
Oh,
you find a shit. I didn't find a shitload of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Well, we'll get to it later.
Yep. Because let's see. You help Yang beat some Baron soldiers or bombs?
No, they're bombs. Okay. Yeah, because it's one big bomb and then it turns into like six smaller bombs.
Okay, yeah. Okay, remember that. I remember using his kick to hit everybody now.
Yep.
Help him beat that, and he's very thankful, and he takes you back to Fabul. And that's when the Baron attacks. Golbez and all his forces just attack Fabul straight up. And then you stand on the forefront of the castle, and you're just bombarded with enemies as you start having to retreat further and further back into the castle, watching all the other monks and soldiers die as you try and protect the Earth Crystal.
It's a cool part of the game. Like, it's one of those like exciting parts of the game where like it feels like, I mean, obviously it's all scripted, but like it doesn't feel like it. Like, it felt is super exciting to me. Mm-hmm. And like the music picks up and that and then like each battle you're pushed back and pushed back. Like I thought that was a really strong part of the game.
The music continues even when you're out of the out of battle. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not that, that yeah, it doesn't keeps disrupt
that, and that tension going.
And it's it's different. It's like, oh shit, this is for real.
The boss music is so is really intense and ba 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 ba.
I'll link that in the show notes.
I want to go ahead and say, I know we're not talking about the after years.
Or somebody can take that and auto-tune that for us. That'll be.
You want to do, let's just do the whole thing.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
We just did that to make you do it by yourself.
Yeah.
It's fine. We can tell you got embarrassed about.
Because like you guys weren't picking up what I was like. Get to the next part. You got to get to the chorus.
Stop singing our song. We're gonna get there. Shut up. Go.
So what, you retreat back to the
throne room. Eventually.
The throne room. Yeah.
Well, in the crystal room, I think you eventually, and I think this is where you first actually see Golbez. I think
you're right because he walks up. Yeah, the dramatic music. You see this man clad in black armor walking up. And is this the point where Tella gets super pissed off and decides to take him out?
Yeah, yeah. He tries to cast all those spells on and nothing's really.
Because you see, it goes to the battle screen and Golbez takes up most of the screen. You've got little Tella.
Like an asshole.
Fire 3, Bolt 3, Bio, and nothing's working. And then you see him finally cast Meteo. And Meteo,
which is bullshit because the son of a bitch couldn't cast it the entire time he was with you. All of a sudden, he just found an extra 9 MP laying around.
Well, he does, but it's too much of a strain on him, and it kills him. That's why Tella, he can cast it, but he can only do it once.
Yeah, they mention whenever you're in the Mount of Ordeals with Palom and Porom, and you get Tella, he mentions that he's there looking for Meteo. And Palom and Porom mention casting Meteo at your age. Are you crazy? That's going to kill you. So they do have a little.
Yeah, because I think when
I'm
he
glad
actually,
there's buildup. It's not just like something that happens all of a sudden.
He actually gets Meteo on top of Mount Ordeals. Yeah, because it's like after you get
you can
paladin,
see it.
It's at the bottom of your screen, grayed out because you never have enough.
Yeah, you
MP.
Can see it. Yeah, in there. So you just can't select it because his max MP is not enough.
So when he casts it, it's badass because it's meteors raining from the scry from the sky, and they're screaming down and do all nines damage to Golbez.
We may not know this. I don't know this. Do you know? Can you game genie to give like Tella 9 more MP and cast Meteo earlier in the game?
I bet you. Surely you can.
What happens? Like does
he probably if I just cast it, it's fine. And then when he does it that one time, then it still just kills him.
I would like to think that he just dies, and then the game just breaks because he can't show up later.
Like a little guy comes out. It's like, this is what you get for fucking with the game,
right?
Like now you can never have Tella for the rest of this game. Are you happy? That's
yeah, he was an asshole.
That's how you get General Leo in your party.
Oh, don't even fucking start with that shit. Don't even start. I try like every fucking rumor I ever saw on the internet to try to get General Leo in my party. It's like, seems reasonable, whatever it was.
Because like, once you telecast Meteo and dies, and you think Golbez is dead too, so everybody's like, hey, we beat him, good job. But you don't see the last thing there is Golbez's hand. And while everybody's celebrating, mourning for Tella and celebrating Golbez's death, that one, just the hand, crawls up till it grabs the Earth Crystal and then crawls out of the room.
In the remake, oh man, this frustrated me so bad because you're just standing there watching it. Yeah, they're celebrating, and then they stop and they see this, and all the like little sprites turn and watch that hand, like Thing in the Addams Family, just crawl up to the crystal, it grabs it, and then walks right out.
Man, we should just really do something about that. Yeah, you're right. I'm pretty sad though, bro.
Let's see, then after the Earth Crystal's gone, is this when Then Kane wants to go get the wind crystal. Or no, he also kidnaps Rosa on his. I guess the hand also gets Rosa on the way out.
This is the episode where we tell the story of Final Fantasy II in question form. Because every plot point we're like, and then is this? I'm pretty sure this is when this happens. Because a lot of shit happens.
We've got the general idea, but this is where the game actually starts to get fuzzy for me. Like once we get to the underworld,
we're done.
Picks back up. But yeah.
Yeah, I think, it gets the crystal, kidnaps Rosa, and then so you have to then go to the...
And you lose Kane again.
Yep.
Because Kane turned, Gobez, once seeing Gobez again or whatever, reinstills that mind control on him. Or either that or he is pretending the whole time, I can't remember. But yeah, Kane turns on you, and he's the one who kidnaps Rosa.
You're right, there you go. Mm-hmm. So then you have to figure out a way to get to the Tower of Babel, where she's being held.
Yes. And
which is pretty cool because the tower stretches all the way underground, which is there. You see it on the world map. You can get in your airship and fly around it. You can't get into it. So you have to find a way underground. And that's the only entrance to the tower.
Because you have to also get, now that all the upper world crystals are gone, then you have to get the.
Oh, yeah.
The
they just kind of throw
crystals.
That in there at the last second. Oh, the enemy has all the crystals that
you've
been searching out?
There's more.
Yeah. There's four more.
You thought all hope was lost. It's not.
So then that's when one of my favorite parts of the game, memorable for me, is you go to that one town. And there's just a well in the center of town. When you go up to it, it prompts your item screen to open. And then if you go at one point, you get a key. And you don't know what the key is for. If you go up and you drop it in the well, it does the... And then earthquake, huge earthquake, and then just ground cracks, opens up, and you can land your airship in it and takes you to the underworld.
It cuts to the world map, and you see like this nearby mountain range, and all of a sudden this hole appears in the middle of the range, which you can't access by hovercraft or walking up to it. You have to fly your airship down into it. Yeah.
And when you get there, the airship isn't, because it's all lava in the underworld, and your airship can't take the temperature, so you have to land it and let Cid work on it. While you go and explore.
Well, when you first fly down, there is an epic battle going on between a bunch of tanks and a bunch of airships, and you actually take damage flying through it and have to land.
You take damage flying? Oh, yeah. That's a whole, scene. Yeah. I thought you were talking about, when you're exploring.
No.
That would have been cool.
I forgot about that.
Did we miss Edge?
No, Edge is underground.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot this part.
Yeah, Edge is underground. You find Edge underground. Because you land and the first thing you do is go talk to the dwarves.
Lally-ho.
I didn't like this part as a kid and I didn't like this part as an adult. I just thought the dwarves were, I guess just because I have a preconceived notion of what dwarves should be and these are not how they should be in my opinion.
These are the Lollipop Guild dwarves.
Yeah. They kind of look like black mages without the hats. And one thing I think is interesting is you go and talk to the king. It's like Giot, and his daughter's name is Luca. I think that's kind of interesting. Hey Meg, what's up?
Bring me a baby monitor. One of the most memorable battles, I think. I always think of this battle that happens with Giot and his daughter because she talks about her. Her dolly has gone missing.
Yeah.
So then you fight, then creepy music, and then the dolls jump out and start dancing around you. And you have to fight all the dancing Calcabrina.
Yeah, that was a...
And depending on, there are four Calcos and four Brinas. And depending on how many more are left, if you kill one or the other first, determines, they all merge together into a giant doll. But its properties are based on... Which more was left?
I didn't know that. I didn't really have a problem with this game. I didn't think it was super difficult. I remembered it being much more difficult when I was a kid. But I didn't run into, I don't remember what any of the bosses really did because I just attacked until it was dead. But that's cool. I'm glad that there was something to it.
Mm-hmm. So then after you talk to the dwarves and they agree to help you,
He says he has a crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping a crystal, and that's when you fight the Calabrians.
They've got one locked up in an unbreachable vault.
Right.
Yeah.
Doug got breached.
Yeah, because it's when you're in there that I think the dolls appear, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And then you get the crystal, right? Once again, mm-hmm. tell the story with a question.
They don't get the crystal at that point, I think.
Yeah, because like
you successfully defend that crystal. And then you decide you're going to go to the Tower of Babel at that point.
Right, because you got to get Rosa.
Yeah.
Because you get saved at one point soon. Because it's in the underworld when you're getting attacked. And then suddenly there's Leviathan appears and there's a big wave.
I feel like we need to look up a walkthrough. Yeah,
I'm looking up one right now.
Because I'm getting a little spotty on what I can remember.
Okay, let's see. After the fight with the dolls, Gobez comes out. He claims this will make the seventh crystal for him. That will leave only one more to claim. He then decides to finish you off for good. So you have to fight Gobez.
In the remake, this is where Meg couldn't get past it. I remember it took me like an hour of fighting him in the remake because it was a really difficult battle.
Yeah, okay. It's in the fight with Gobez. He kills everybody except Cecil. Then as he's about to make the final blow, a dragon made of mist comes out and saves you.
Oh, right. That's when Rydia reappears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now she's a grown-up.
And she does look voluptuous.
She's wearing like a silky see-through outfit. And
uh-huh.
So whenever Leviathan saved her and took her to the land of monsters where time flows much faster, so she is now an adult instead of a child.
Why did they do that? Like, I was wondering when I was playing it, like, why did they do that? Like, it's just a weird little, like, is it just because it's to make it unique, like it's a mystical land where you age faster.
If they wanted to sex up Rydia, and they
is that it?
That.
Like, because I was wondering that. Like, is that it?
That's pretty much all I could come up with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, like, there's going to be a character later on who's going to like her, and it's going to be weird if she's a little girl. So,
Tadpog challenge.
It's fine
masturbate,
in Japan, but the American audience
to,
is a lot of kids.
16-bit pixelated Rydia.
Which one?
Boom. Yeah, but yeah, she saves you, and it's pretty badass because when she comes back now, she had to become a stronger caller. She had to give up white magic, so now she has high level black magic and all of her mother's summons.
Right,
and this is most of the side quests in the game are getting her summons. Mm-hmm. There are several optional. You have a chance to go to that mystical land.
The land of monsters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's completely optional. You don't have to.
Right.
Rydia gets a new summon, a pretty powerful... Two new summons, yeah, from that.
One being powerful, one being weird.
I really like the weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Asura, is that what it is?
And
yeah.
You get the king and queen, right, of the monster land.
Yeah, the king being Odin. I like
King is Leviathan.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. You get Odin by going back to the hidden throne room and Baron.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or the real king from ages gone by is, or something like that.
Yeah.
The king who died whenever his sword was hit by lightning.
Yeah. And which you find out they pretty much tell you how to kill all the summons in a library in the land of monsters.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool because they you read all the books in there and they give you the weaknesses. I like that it's right there in the game. You don't have to like look it up on a strategy guide or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I thought the game was pretty easy pretty much until I started doing these side quests because Odin was really difficult.
Because you have like three rounds to kill him in before he does his Zansetsuken and kills everybody automatically.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the Bahamut, which is the most powerful summon, was harder than the final boss of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's completely optional, which is pretty much typical for a Final Fantasy game. They always throw in an optional boss. It seems it's way more powerful than the final boss. Just does it.
But none of this can be
extra
done.
Challenge.
None of this can be done yet in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's. You can only do those optional things right before you go essentially to fight the last battle.
No, the king and queen monsters.
You can do it anytime.
Now. Yeah,
you're not powerful enough.
No, you can't go to the land of the monsters until right before you get the whale because you don't have a you don't have a...
The whale's an airship, by the way.
Man, yeah, it made sense to us.
It's a fat white mage you pick up later on. You have to have the special airship that has the drill and has the stuff on the bottom.
Oh, the armor
plating.
To get
over to the land of the monsters, yeah.
I think more people are listening to this who have played the game and are like, you fuckers don't know shit about Final Fantasy II than there are people who are like, I don't know anything about this game.
I'm trying to sit and remember your way through. It's pretty difficult.
It's fucking hard.
I literally, at my screen on my Nintendo at home as me just starting the fight with Azura. So, or Shiva.
Oh, okay.
No, not Shiva.
Yeah, because you get Shiva.
Yeah,
Shiva's supplied.
It's Azura. I guess that's the queen. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think you have to wait till that's done. You come out of the Tower of Babel to do that, I think.
Because now that Ridey is back, then you can go into the bottom of the Tower of Babel and start ascending it.
Right.
This is a long, long ascension into the tower. It takes forever. This is one of the only part of the game where I was just like, God damn, like I got to step away.
And
it's a long dungeon.
And yeah, and typical to the early Final Fantasy games too, they'll throw in several pretty challenging fights and then just one insane fight. Like there's a dragon, I think, a random encounter in there. It's very, very rare. But if you get that, run away because it's got a TPK attack on it.
I remember Ashley Shake told me he got, and I looked it up after the fact, like he got an incredibly rare drop in the Tower of Babel off a random monster called like the Mute Staff, which you equip it on Rydia and it made her attack like higher than everybody's in the game. And when you use the battle, it just casts Mute on nearly with 100% success rate on whatever the enemy is.
Wow. I know there are really rare drops in the on the moon as well, which we haven't gotten to. You go to the moon in this game. By the way.
You take the well to the moon.
Yeah, you know,
we're the cave of naming waves.
I was trying to avoid doing that. Yeah.
Ah, so that's where he is.
I didn't want to say fucking spaceship. So
I don't understand why.
So once you get to the top, you save Rosa.
Yeah,
you fight. Golbez again.
You fight
again.
Down.
Yeah. And when you fight, when you fight Valvalis, because when you get there, Kane comes free again and joins you, and then Golbez sends Valvalis after you. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can stop Valvalis is with Kane.
Yeah, because she does her tornado thing, and he's got to jump to stop it.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel is a fucking grind because there's so many levels. There's several boss fights in the game
because you fight Mindy, Cindy. Magus sisters.
Yeah, the Magus sisters. I forgot about that.
You fight Dr. Luge and his Frankenstein monster.
Yeah.
He's a pretty tough boss fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the elemental fiend of wind and fire, and then Golbez himself.
I think one of the reasons I keep forgetting steps in this game is because you fight Golbez. Like a lot of it is you go through a dungeon, there's a crystal at the end, and Golbez takes it.
You fight him, sort of beat him, and he takes the crystal.
Right, someone dies.
So,
because we skipped over the Dark Elf part we were waiting to talk about, didn't we?
Did we skip over that?
Yeah, that was before you get to the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, because we talked about, we'll get to that later, and then we just forgot about it.
Well, it's not really that important other than it's a pretty
it's another
cool
crystal.
Fight. Yeah,
because the Dark Elf has a crystal.
Yeah,
the Dark Elf stole one from, I can't remember what town it was.
Yeah, the Dark Elf is pretty much immune to all weapons except iron. He's vulnerable to iron. So he's hidden himself in, I think it's the Earth Crystal, because he uses it to magnetize the cave. So nobody can take anything metal into the cave. So you actually have to go through your inventory, unequip anything that's metal, which I think the town right before you go in there has...
sells all
like,
wooden.
Yeah, wooden weapon, which isn't as strong as the stuff you have now, but you can actually use it in the cave.
If you have them with any metal equipment, they start off a random battle with
paralyzed
around them. Yeah.
Which, that's really cool.
Yeah. So you...
But our old friend Edgar is back for this part, or Edward.
Edward.
No, you don't get him on your team. You have to go...
No, yeah.
And talk to him.
Right.
You have to give him an item or something. He's been injured. You have to...
He has to have his harp.
He essentially has to have his harp and sing a song.
Right. And he gives you a harp. And I think it's
no,
like
no,
twin harp.
The twin harp.
He gives you... it's the... They had it in Final Fantasy Dimensions too. You played that game, right, Dave?
I haven't finished it. Oh. I didn't realize.
There's a flower in the game where you speak into it, and whoever has the other flower that it's linked to can hear. And so you can communicate over long distance like that. It comes up in Final Fantasy Dimensions. And that's what he gives you, at least in the remake. I don't remember.
I think he gives you a twin harp in the Super NES version.
So when he plays that one,
it comes out of the harp.
Yeah, you can hear it.
And then that, because when you first fight the Dark Elf, he fucking wipes the floor with you.
Yeah.
And then Edgar gets out of bed.
If you don't talk to Edgar, that's Edward.
Edward. Look what you did, Miller.
What was funny is he just said Edgar. Like, trying to combine them.
Edgar. If you don't talk to Edgar, saving its piss.
If you don't talk to Edward,
yeah.
Then that's it. That's game over. If you did and you got the twin harp, then you can. He just feels inspired to play for you. So he plays an inspiring song. You hear it through the harp, and you get up and fight again. And I think it disrupts the Dark Elf's powers.
Yeah, doesn't like it.
Yeah, he hates
it. He can then equip. You can, in battle, like equip the metal weapons.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I wish I'd have known that.
They do a ton of damage to him.
Mm-hmm. Then it's a pretty easy fight, but...
But you lose that crystal anyway to Golbez.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
It's a crystal.
The moral of this story is just let Golbez collect all the crystals, then go fight him on the moon.
Yeah.
Because you see Tower of Babel, you defeat Golbez, Cain and Rosa join you, so it's...
I forgot about the goblins. I forgot to mention, the dwarves are in their tanks attacking the Tower of Babel, shooting their cannons at it. The Tower of Babel has its own cannons that are shooting at the dwarves, which they're going to obliterate the dwarves, you go into their gun room while you're infiltrating the tower, and you fight these three goblins that are manning the guns.
Forgot about that.
I don't think it's a boss fight or anything. I think it's a pretty easy fight, but there's just goblins
just
manning
like,
the guns.
Early level goblins.
But now at the end of the tower there is where they have the guns trained on the dwarves, and the only way to stop them is for Yang.
Oh, yeah. He has to go into the engine room.
Go into the engine room and yet another self-sacrificing act.
Yeah, he's like, you act like you're going to leave, like you don't know what to do. And then once everybody leaves, he jumps back into the room and locks the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the explosion going on.
Yeah.
Cue the sad music as Yang is gone. He's been with you a while at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's actually one of the useful people in your on your team that can fight.
Yeah. So... Sorry, Yang's dead.
Mm-hmm. But then after you get Rosa and Cain, then like your final party is kind of coming together with Cecil, Rydia, Cain, and Rosa. And then once you get to the top of the Tower of Babel, it turns into the large robot version of itself.
Yeah, it turns into a giant. Mm-hmm. And just starts...
I always thought the giant just came out of it. Like it was...
Oh,
the tower,
yeah, maybe that's it.
The tower,
yeah,
the
tower does
there.
Stay there, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, a giant is summoned. Mm-hmm. And giant fireballs come out of the giant and starts, I guess, destroying the land. I don't know.
Because now it's topside and obliterating everything. Yeah. And then that's how Edge's family... It's coming close to Edge's...
I swear you
castle?
Find yeah. I'm swear you find Edge underground, like because he's like their town's been like obliterated.
Their town is underground. Yeah, I don't know.
And it's been obliterated.
They had to retreat underground because
maybe that's
to their castle
topside. Yeah, I think that is it. Yeah, because you do find if you can find his castle before you go down into the earth. Because
there's a destroyed
castle.
There's no one in there. Nothing in
because they had a crystal. I'm assuming they had a crystal and the castle was destroyed. Mm-hmm. We know a lot about this game.
Mm-hmm. We've done pretty damn well, I think.
Off the top of our heads, yeah.
Yeah, I did play it recently, but I mean recently as in like 7 or 8 months ago.
I played it like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, like I played it like 2 weeks ago and now I'm playing Earthbound. I'm thinking about that, running a D&D game. There's a lot of stories. Yeah. There's a lot of stories.
But...
Oh, this is where you lose Cid as well. He's been out of your party.
Yeah, another one lays down.
Yeah, because after you leave the Tower of Babel, you got to go up top to Surface World, but you're being chased By the Red Barons, the Red Wings.
The Red Wings. Yeah. But Snoopy's there. It's fine. He takes care of the Red Baron. You just have to worry about the Red Wings.
So he's they're chasing you on their airships. You're flying up. Sid grabs a bomb as you're going through the tunnel that leads to the surface, grabs a bomb, jumps off the airship.
Matthew McConaughey.
Rain of fire.
Rain of fire style.
I don't know if I made this up in my head, but it wasn't in the remake, but I swear in the Super Nintendo version, he flips off the airship army as he's falling down.
You see his hand, his hand come up.
But then, he's got a bomb. He blows himself up as you're escaping.
It's so weird. Like, I didn't understand this. Like, as an adult playing it, I was like, that did fucking nothing. Like, I mean, like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, it did do something because it seals the hole into the underworld.
Yeah, it collapses the tunnel.
Yeah, but it's so, like, but I mean, I guess he knew that.
I don't know.
Like, it just seems really weird. Like, I'm going to do this.
he is an engineer. Yeah, so I'm sure he did all the math real quick.
Oh, he peeped it. I forgot he peeped it. Yeah. All right. Okay, cool.
What about this hole? Bing, bing.
Oh, okay. I got this.
Blow the bomb. All right.
You know, those engineers just blow themselves up all the time to fill in holes.
So now you can't go back down to the underground area. You can try. Your airship tries to land on the rubble, but I don't want to get down.
Yeah.
And then you have to go, enter a mountainside and go underground, like a little bit underground. Not super underground, but a little underground.
You
and
can't.
That's when you find, I forget, Edge's ninja town.
Yes.
Because Edge is a ninja. And you find these people that have been driven underground. And Rubikant came in and killed Edge's parents and took their crystal, and is still since trying to hunt and kill all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Edge is your Spider-Man, your smart ass.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I thought it was weird as a kid, and I thought it was weird as an adult.
I liked him. He was probably my favorite character in the game.
I like him. It's just you don't normally see that like personality with a ninja type. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Just thought it was weird.
I just really like the throw ability.
Yeah. Love the throw ability.
He has the most abilities of anybody in the game.
Yes.
He has elemental magic, a couple of like weird buff spells, and then the throw, which can do massive damage.
Dual wield is right.
Yeah, he also dual wields.
He dual wields.
Katanas. So.
And he can throw any sword in the game. Yeah. And he can also throw the spoon.
The spoon.
The spoon, yeah.
Because that's when, I jump ahead a little bit, to where you can finally go back underground. And along the land of monsters, you can also go to find the land of the sylphs.
Yeah.
And it's a weird dungeon because the terrain hurts you unless you cast float.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's poisonous.
Poisonous. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like swampy. I didn't realize that in the Super Nintendo version, but the remake, you can actually tell. It's like poison.
It's not just like, like light poisonous. Bulbs going on and off.
Yeah.
And when you get to the find where all the sylphs are, Yang has fallen down into their village, and they've been taking care of him. And the sylphs then become a summon for Rydia, which they're just a healing summon, pretty much.
It's a pretty good one. It's one of the few mass healing abilities you get.
And then now you know where Yang is. You go tell Yang's wife, well, this is where he is. And she's very happy, and she rewards you with her fabled spoon.
Mm-hmm.
No function except to throw it, and it's the most powerful thing in the game that you can throw. Mm-hmm.
It's guaranteed all nine stamina
against any opponent. Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you try to go tell her that he's dead, like, because I think he says something like, tell my wife I love her or something like that. If you try to go tell her before you find him, she's just like, no, he's not.
Yeah, she doesn't believe you.
She's like, he wouldn't die. Shut up, go away.
Which, this starts the whole thing that I don't like about the game, where everyone starts coming back from the dead. Essentially, you find out that like everyone who died didn't really die.
Yeah, because Sid blew himself up, falling down.
Yeah,
down like he. Okay, he took the bomb, took the fall, and then probably fell into lava. Because as soon as you come down, it's just a lake of lava.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he shows up at the end of the game.
Let's see, because you help Edge take back his castle and fight Rubikant while you're doing it. Rubikant being the lawful evil enemy heals you first before you fight him. Somewhat tough because he has a pretty nasty AoE ability.
Yeah, definitely the toughest of the four fiends.
Mm-hmm. So once you beat Rubikant, Edge joins you. You collect all the Dark World crystals. Now I'm having trouble drawing some lines.
You get the whale.
Well, you have to get all the upper world and underworld crystals.
You wind up back down in the underworld. I can't remember how.
You have to get the drill.
Because you got to, yeah.
But once you're down there, you find Cid. Lets you put on the metal plating so that you can go over the lava like you did with the last, because you can't take your old.
You have to stay over the land.
You can't go over the lava.
So he puts that on the red. You get a red wing, essentially. Mm-hmm. Then from there, you have to go to this secret cave. Now that you can fly over everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. After Cid blows up, you go talk to his engineers. And Cid had put in a last order before he died, I guess. And they install the crane, onto you so you can pick up the hovercraft, move it to a different continent.
Right.
Drop it down, get out of your airship onto the hovercraft, and then go to it.
The hovercraft being what Edward gave you?
You got it from Edward, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the very beginning.
Early in the game.
Which just lets you go over the water that has rocks on it.
Yeah.
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 Which that also, the hovercraft, moving it gets you access to the town of Mithril.
Yes.
And that's where you get
this town.
It's all small people.
Uh-huh. Small people. Toads
and pigs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have my favorite dancers in the game, because there are dancers in that town as well, but they're a pig, a small person, and a toad, and they do a pretty amazing routine. I wouldn't say it's like jerk offable, but it's pretty good.
But Tadpog Challenge. Jerk off.
You wouldn't say it's jerk offable.
I wouldn't.
Your name isn't Josh Nance.
But that's where you get the adamant ore.
Yes.
From there.
Which you can take to the smithy down in the underworld.
One house, like in the corner of the underworld.
Yep.
And he'll forge for you
Excalibur
from it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the adamant ore and the rat tail?
Yeah.
No, you have to give the rat tail to the dude in the cave to give you the adamant ore.
Oh, okay.
And then you take the adamant ore to the smithy in the Underdark.
You get the rat tail in that secret, the place where the last crystal is.
Yeah, in the Sylph Cave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
now I'm just trying to think about, how do you get back all the upper world crystals from Golbez?
You actually go to, let's see, you borrow a crystal. I think you borrow the last crystal, and you don't get all the crystals, I don't think, until you go to the moon, right? Because...
Yeah, no, because from there, after you get the rat tail, after you do that one part right there... I'm trying to think of what the point of that was, though. That secret cave that you could only access, what the hell were you going there for?
Which secret cave?
It's after you talked, you find out, you're back in the underworld, you find out Cid's alive.
Mm-hmm.
He retrofits
the
heat shields, so you can go to this cave in the underworld.
Oh, yeah.
That the dungeon, because there's another dungeon where the wall creeps up on you.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, because you have
to go there to get that crystal.
Yeah, you go through all the trap doors, and the trap doors are such a pain in the ass because they've got a one-shot kill, and it'll kill at least two members of your party every time. So
you basically have to have Kane jump up and try to avoid the death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after you get out of there, that's when you come back, and then he fits the drill to get you back out of the underworld again. You go to Mysidia. You go talk to the guy. Everybody prays.
The sage, yeah.
And the whale.
They wish. For some reason, they changed that in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they, in the remake, is it back to praying?
I think it is praying.
Because it's so...
Or they cast some kind of ritual spell or something. But yeah, it's...
It's so weird because it's like you can tell in the translation they just changed like pray to wish. Because he's like, when the elder tells his mages, come and wish with me. Atop the tower, and then they go up, and he's like, wish, let's wish, so that wish makes hard.
That's another thing I wonder how Earthbound got away with, because that's Paula's ability to pray.
To pray.
And usually they try to avoid any Christian overtones in Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember in Final Fantasy I, it was really confusing to me, because the most powerful white magic spell you get is Fade. It's supposed to be holy. It's holy in all the other remakes, which makes sense. But it's a white magic attack spell called Fade.
I don't know.
Just fades evil away. I guess so. Yeah.
So they do all the wishing, and out of the sea appears a giant,
super technologically advanced
spaceship called the Whale. Yeah. That has a fat-ass chocobo in it that you can give all your items to.
It looks like a giant trilobite. It really like a bleached trilobite. But it's called a whale.
Yeah.
As you get on and everybody has to figure out, like, do we want to keep fighting? Because Cecil, Kane, and Edge try to make the girls stay behind.
Right.
Telling them that this isn't a place for them. They'll handle it.
Right. It's too dangerous.
And Rosa and Roddy are like, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess we'll see you later. And leave. And then the three of them pilot the airship. Like, I'm trying to think of the big reveal. Like, you have to go to the... Golbez has gone to the moon.
Right.
I think this all happens in the updated version because they don't put up a fight in the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Because they're like... The three men are like, this is too dangerous. Because I remember it clearly because I was like, God damn, this is sexist as shit. Like, playing it now, it's like, how the fuck did, like, no one give a shit about this? And then, because, like, they're like, yeah, it's too dangerous for women. Y'all better get off. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, what the fuck are they? They're just like, okay, fine. And then they leave. And then you fly to the moon. And then the three guys go to get off. And then Rosa and Righty pop up. They're like, we didn't go anywhere, suckers. I guess you got to take us now because we're on the moon.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You should enter Mysidia, and walk straight up to the Elder and his black wizard and white wizard approach to take you to the Tower of Wishes.
Mm-hmm.
The time has come. Okay, here we've got the prophecy. One to be born from a dragon, hoisting the light and the dark. Arise high up in the sky to still the land, veiling the moon with the light of eternity. It brings another promise to Mother Earth with a bounty and mercy.
That was good.
It's like a wet dream for you, Tyler, wasn't it?
Really good. I was in stunned silence. This is all the right elements.
It's happening! It's happening!
Yeah, because Golbez uses all the other crystals to form a bridge for him to go to the moon.
Right.
But you just wish for a way, and you get a space well, which, yeah, it looks like a trilobite. Is this a Reaper from...
I don't know, maybe. Maybe it is. Right. This is the first Reaper.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Because, of course, when you land on the moon, I love the moon music because it's so weird. It's very difficult, and you have to progress through all these tunnels to get to, like, the one city you can sort of see on the moon.
The overworld map is kind of a maze.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a maze.
You can only land on certain spots with your whale airship thing.
You think a whale could land wherever the fuck it wants.
I think because the only three places you can go are the maze to go to the Crystal City, Bahamut Shrine, and like Naming Ways.
See, I missed that cave. I missed that cave as a kid, and I missed it as an adult.
It's a cave full of Naming Ways. But none of them will rename you, and they don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They're like, what? Change your name? What are you talking
one
about?
One of them will like sell you elixirs or something. That's why it's a really good place to go.
Yeah. They do say like one of their kind like went to the blue planet or something like that. They mentioned that he took a journey to the blue planet.
I hoard items. So like I ended the game with like 8 elixirs.
Because once you get into through the maze, into the big crystal shrine, that's where you meet Fusoya.
Yeah. Who is an old man Lunarian.
Yeah, he explains to you.
He's a race that's
moon people.
Yeah, he's a moon man, and they're all asleep. All the moon men are asleep. And it's Fusoya's job to watch over them and make sure they stay asleep. But one of them wasn't asleep. Mm-hmm. And it's revealed that this Lunarian who wasn't asleep is probably, most likely controlling Golbez.
Mm-hmm.
And for once, Golbez isn't the big bad villain in the game anymore. So Fusoya, which by the way, his name is an alternating caps. So right away, he's got 1990s cred. So, because like if you were in a chat room in the 90s, you did that shit. But Fusoya did it first. he decides that he will go with you to see this through.
And he is in Super Tella.
Every magic spell period is on his list. He can do anything.
See, this is where I'm getting confused because he joins your party, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you go back to the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
To fight Golbez for one last time.
Right, but who did you lose?
You didn't lose anyone. You had 4 people.
Kane.
Uh huh.
Cecil. I mean, Cain, Cecil.
No, Cain leaves you.
See, yeah, that's where I was getting. That's where I was going.
I'm sorry, you're right. Cain leaves you
because when you were, because
he betrays you when you leave with that last crystal again.
That's right. He does betray you again.
Yeah.
Why is he your favorite character?
He can't help it.
This is why I was confused. You were saying
Tyler loves the traitors, like from Final Fantasy Tactics, Delita. Oh my god, I hated Delita so much, and Tyler loved him. Oh man,
when you kept saying
Itachi, Snape, love them.
When you kept saying the three guys talk the two women out of going,
it's the
I'm
two
like,
of them. You're right.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
So yeah. Then, when does it come out?
It's hard to keep track of because like your party is like so constantly changing, mm-hmm. and you really don't have any control of who's in your party at any given time. You're mm-hmm. gonna have who the game gives you. Mm-hmm. And that's one of these, like, that element makes the game really cool from, like, a storytelling point because they can tell the story that they want to tell, but it really limits, like, the customization that you have of your party because you mm-hmm. can't build it. You're just doing what you can with what you're given.
Mm-hmm. So, 'cause you go back to the Tower of Babel again into a different part. You get to the top, you fight, which I thought was a super hard battle, the CPU of the Tower of Babel, this huge black orb that will summon other black orbs. And
to restore it.
It can use like Protocol 62, which just kills several people, which it's humorous when Fuso Yaw dies because he just turns into a beard on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, he does. He turns into a beard with like a little like flesh-colored dome.
Then at the end, you fight all four fiends back to back to back to back.
Right.
And then you fight Golbez. Uh-huh. Fuso Yaw helps you knock out Golbez, and then he goes over and he takes the... Fuso Yaw cancels out the memory or the mind control that's on Golbez. And Golbez is like, oh shit, I'm sorry what I've done to dun-dun-dun my brother.
Right. Yeah, it's revealed that your... Fuso Yaw tells you that your father was a Lunarian and that your... He went to the Blue Planet.
Which was his brother, right?
Yeah.
So he's your uncle.
He's your moon uncle.
Yeah.
You know. He's your moon uncle. We all have a moon uncle, right? My moon uncle is susceptible to epilepsy. I'm sure everyone is. He tells you that your dad was Lunarian, and he went to the Blue Planet, found a nice Earth girl, and had two babies.
Earth girls are easy. Yeah. So it's fine.
Had two babies. You're one of them, Cecil. And Golbez, you're the other one.
Golbez, you're the ultra powerful other one.
It's really like this Maury Povich kind of ending to the whole scenario.
Yeah, Golbez apologizes, and he and Fuso Yaw say they're going to go handle this, and then leave for the moon again.
Right.
So then Cain now is that Golbez is no longer mind controlled. Cain is now no longer mind controlled.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're going after Zemus, mm-hmm. the Lunarian who woke up and stirred shit.
So yeah, you get on back on the moon, and your final five people go back. Mm-hmm. You go to this crystal shrine again, and now the door deep into the bowels of the moon is open.
The subterranean. Mm-hmm. Subterranean.
And then you can go through the final dungeon filled with all the final weapons in the game and armor. And
huge dungeon.
Yeah.
Huge, mm-hmm. huge dungeon. I think it only has like maybe two save points in it.
I don't remember.
But it's because I know there's long stretches of the dungeon where it's just like, hope there's another save mm-hmm. point.
Because there are these, you can see them periodically. It's always a challenge to get to them with these like floating weapons mm-hmm. all throughout the dungeon. And it's a challenge to get to them and then a challenge battle to claim them. Because
right, you have to fight a boss. Mm-hmm. I think the hardest of that for me when I was a kid and when I was an adult was Plague. I think you have to fight Plague to get the Massive Moon. He is one of the floating eye demons.
Mm. Airman.
Yeah, an airman. And he casts doom on your whole party. And I couldn't remember it for the life of me. I was like, how did I do this as a kid? I couldn't fucking remember it. Like, I fought him. Fortunately, he's right next to a save room. I fought him like five times. Like, fuck it, man. I didn't have the internet at this time in my life when I was a kid. I'm using it now. You have to kill one of your party members after doom is cast on them. And then once it wears off everyone else, you kill him. It gives you kill him, cast life on him, and he comes back without doom on him. So then you have to rotate your party members, like as the ones who die from doom. You have to revive them, and you have to constantly have at least one person who doesn't have the doom effect on them. Doom is an effect where there a counter appears above their head. 10, the number 10 appears and it counts down. When it reaches zero, they fall over dead.
Because you go through and get both weapons for Edge, a weapon for Cecil.
I don't think there was one for Cecil because he's got the Excalibur.
He has the Excalibur, you're right.
Yeah, you get a lance
you
for
Cain. You get like two ribbons, I think.
Yep.
Which is the best equipment for the girls.
Yep.
Because the white spear for Cain, which there's the sort of the cloning trick in this game has to do with Cain being left-handed.
Oh, I don't know about the cloning trick.
Because you can, depends on what you equip in his left hand and his right hand, and you can make a certain item in your inventory become 99.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I never knew about that either.
So, yeah, so you can get yourself max elixirs and max all spoons? That kind of stuff. Max spoons. Shit,
can
max
can
spoons.
You do that, really? Oh, man, that's crazy broken.
Hey, Meg.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I'm going to bed. I just want to make sure that you need to use the mailbag.
I got your text.
See you, Meg.
Bye, Meg.
Good night.
I got 9% on my battery.
Okay.
So either I need to get a charger or we need to wrap it up.
Yeah. We're at the end of the game. So.
Yes, okay. You progress through to the dungeon until you find Golbez and Fusoya fighting Zemus. Or Zima.
Zemus. Mm-hmm.
And oh, shit. Spoilers.
Oh, damn.
But they both do Meteo and then a combo attack, W Meteo.
W period Meteo.
It's like white Meteo. Where Meteo? So then he dies and then comes back like the Defender of Earth, stronger in undeath, wipes the floor with them, and now it's up to the five heroes.
He's renamed now. Zeromus.
Zeromus. Oh, shit.
And then you have an elaborate, I'd say elaborate. It's not, I mean, it's not really elaborate.
Crazy space battle.
Yeah, the background moves. You're in space.
But this is like the cool part where all, like, if you, I guess it changes if you didn't go back and realize that Cain was down there, where, like, some of your fallen friends will come and
they show up. Yeah.
Show up and give you a little, like, speech, like a little motivational speech. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he essentially wipes you out. Like, you just show up, right?
He does, like, big bang and then kills you.
And just instantly. And then you're right, Miller. Everyone like starts showing up. They're like, "Hey, thought I was dead. Not."
Yeah.
That should give you some inspiration. And you're like, "Yeah, it does give me inspiration." And, like you get up and you're at half health, and then someone else shows up. And they're like, "I'm not dead either." And you're like, "Oh, that's great!" And then you get full HP and MP. And you're like, "Let's do this shit." Which I think is, I liked it when like I think it sucked that like almost every character you have in your party fucking dies in this game at some point. But then like they literally all come back at the end.
But see, I think like Tella, Palom, Porom are all legitimately dead. I think if you don't go back and find Yang, like, because he's one of the people that comes to you. I think it's supposed to be people that are dead. It's not like just random people showing up. It's like their spirit.
You're supposed to think because they're kind of glitchy when they come to you, like you're supposed to think it's their ghost.
I know that Palom and Porom aren't dead. Like, they legitimately come back because they're in the after
years. In the very end, too, at the end credits.
Yeah.
Oh, and like, I remember
they're
that
there.
Part.
Yeah. Oh. And then Yang they're is, with Tella. Yang as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are with Tella.
You do find out at the end that they're all.
Everyone comes back. Mm-hmm. Everyone comes back. Except for Anna.
Except Poor for Anna.
Oh, and Righty's mom. Sorry, Righty's mom.
So. To be fair, Golbez comes back like 6 times. Like, you destroy him except for his hand, and he grows back.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did you beat? You beat Zemus, and the threat is quelled. Fusoya says, Golbez, you need to stay here with me. We need to go to bed. It's bedtime.
It's late, man. We got to go.
Golbez is like, sorry, Cecil. I love you. Don't hate me. Cecil's like, okay.
Golbez is like, I'm going to the moon, bitches.
So then Edge and Rydia are together. Cecil and Rosa are together. And Cain is alone.
Yeah. Which I don't feel bad for him. I don't. I feel like this whole.
He's got a bad will save. Don't hate on him having a bad will save.
I feel like this whole game, he has just been like, I want to like you, Cain. I really do. I really want to like you, but I just fucking know you're going to stab me in the back. Oh, yep. There you go again. You did it again.
I'm only going to give you 4 more chances, and then we're done.
Like that, I wish the game gave you a little bit of control, because I would love to just be like, I don't fucking want you. You know what? Jump's not that powerful. You're done. You're fucking shitlisted. Get the fuck out of here. And then you get to fight him as a boss later on. That would be great.
Because then you go back, and it's kind of a happily forever after ending.
Yeah, very so. It's like saccharine sweet kind of ending. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have any achievements?
Yeah.
What you got?
You know what really grinds my gears? And this would be to reach max level on Dark Knight.
That's good. I like that one a lot.
And twin, ultra twin
powers activate.
Yes. And that would be using the twin ability to kill a boss.
It's good. I like that.
Got two. First one, Yin Yang twins. In order to like Yin Yang twins, you have to have Yang, Palom, and Poro in your party and whistle while you twerk. Yes, sir. You do. You gotta make that pussy fart.
Good Lord.
Some people don't know we're talking about. That song will be in the show notes.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. My second one would have to be, this one's so much more clever, meteorology. In order to unlock meteorology, you have to cast Meteo. Because it feels really good the first time you do it. Mm-hmm. But then, right after you cast it, you're like, I could have just summoned Bahamut.
Like twice.
Right.
Because it takes so long to cast.
Yeah. It takes so long to cast and does pretty much the same thing. Because Bahamut is the fucking best thing in the game.
Mm-hmm. Josh, any achievement?
No, I don't. Definitely not going to follow this.
Okay, I've got three.
I know, meteorology was pretty strong.
It was pretty good.
I've got, nope, not going to do it. And you unlock that by not using Kane's jump to defeat Valvalis.
Oh, wow.
There is actually a spoon. And you get that by getting the spoon.
Okay.
And last one, water go down the hole. And that is when you drop the key down the well. Water go down the hole.
I get your reverence. Like yeah, I get your reverence. Like
that plucky duck.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Got a very important question for you. Mm-hmm. It's been a podcast. It's been two podcasts. It's been... For the first time ever, we didn't do a Beards or Glasses last week.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever. Tadpog milestone. It's a shitty milestone. It's a milestone nonetheless. So I've got a very important question for you. If you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
Have you ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Dave?
I have, Tyler. I have. I enjoy that movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good movie.
And it is.
I give it King Arthur's beard for Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
A beard to behold.
Mm-hmm. It's a good beard. It's a questing beard.
Questing beard. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Questing beard sounds like a good last name.
Questing beard.
Jerome Questing Beard.
It's better than naming way. Have you met my brother? My brother-in-law, Questing Beard? Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses.
Not John Lennon's glasses.
They might be.
Mm-hmm. This game, I like this game.
What kind of glasses would you give it?
The lenses of the Hubble telescope.
Whoa, that is a very apt.
So you can look glasses. For the space whales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at all the moon men and try to see the ancient sleeping race of powerful people.
You know, it's kind of weird. I feel like we didn't emphasize that you go to the moon in this game.
In a whale. That has inside of a giant chocobo. That or Kokobo, if you're one of those.
If you're one of those.
Where you can store your items. Did you mention that the item storage in this game is the
Until Miller said, talked about the whale. Yeah. That you can use like a whistle to summon the fat Chocobo.
A carrot. Yeah, you use a carrot because he's fat. He likes to eat. He must eat a lot of carrots.
Carrots make you super fat.
Oh, yeah. It's carrot cake.
That's fucking weird, man. You go to the moon. I mean, we did just kind of zoom past that because it's been a long episode, but
you go to the fucking moon.
That's not...
There's not a dragon inside the moon that you take control of. That's a thing that happens in this game. You become friends with a moon dragon.
A dragon named after king of Hawaii.
And you meet your moon uncle.
Yeah, you meet your moon uncle. A lot of shit happens
on the
moon.
I didn't know Bahamut was the Hawaiian king.
Okay. So is...
I like his bread.
Kamehameha. Is a Hawaiian or was a Hawaiian queen, king? Yeah, king.
That sounds more Hawaiian than Bahamut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you may be lying.
Maybe I'm a liar.
Maybe I'm a liar.
You want to do that song, Phil?
Maybe I'm a liar. I know one part of that song, and it's Maybe I'm a Lion. I like that it was the Black Mages version that you were doing, because that's the one we heard all the time.
Yeah, there's something else.
That's very famous Tyler Holland DMing music.
Yep.
That, and you were on a Britney Spears kick Toxic. For a while. Toxic, yeah.
Her version, and then the there's a much slower remix I would use that another girl did.
I remember there was the Johnny Cash remake of
her, Toxic.
We gamed like so many RP moments to hurt Johnny Cash's hurt. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear the a band called the Lounge Lizards that did a like lounge singer version of Jesus Freak? Put that in the show notes.
Nice. All right.
I feel like I have heard that. Tell me I'm a Jesus freak.
Yeah. I separated, I cut myself clean from a past that comes back in my darkest dream.
Keep going. I'm in a rapture.
Wiggled around like a bowl full of shit.
Well, you did it. You guys converted me. Well. I'm bored again. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I want to know how much this game is on Amazon. How much is this game on Amazon? Used.
$35.
$35 from Tyler. Josh, how much do you think this game is used on Amazon?
I'm going to go, it's in the 40s, 47.
It's Amazon.com. Does that change your answer?
It's not just the jungle.
Not just the river, yeah.
You have to go through.
It's free. You just fish it out. You gotta watch out for those little fish that'll swim up your pee.
Yeah, I saw Anaconda too. That was my takeaway from that shitty movie. Never, ever, ever get in that fucking river. Miller.
I'm going to say 15. I think it's would be worth it to me because I love the game so much, but I get the feeling that there was probably a lot of them made. It was popular at the time. It was part of a popular series. They probably re-released. I'm going to say it's fairly low compared to what my counterparts believe.
Going $15?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Actual retail value of Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo on Amazon.com at the time of this recording is $32.98. Wow. So Tyler was closer, but Miller was closest without going over.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to guess how much this game is new on Amazon.com?
$2.99.
$2.99.
Mm-hmm. It's cheaper for some reason.
$2.99 from Tyler?
I'll do $200.99.
$200.99 from Josh. Miller.
What just happened?
How much is still in the card inbox in the shrink?
If you both guessed $2.99.
Yes.
I guessed $299. Josh guessed $200.99.
Oh, a dollar.
Actual retail value of Final Fantasy II new at the time of this recording, $450.
Jeez,
man. All right.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So, Tyler, I guess you win that one.
Yeah.
That's not your prize, though, because I can't fucking afford it. Because that's more than my electric bill.
I was really hoping they went over.
Sorry, man. I've got a used copy over there on my shelf, but
cash it in for $32.
You can, surely you can, like, make a pristine-shaped box, laminate it.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. I work at a printing company. I'm sure we could counterfeit that shit.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
It's not fraud if it's on eBay, right?
So I feel like we each have.
How do you even tell? How do you verify that it's is there an expert you can take it to?
It just looks shittier. It doesn't.
All the save games have Toga's ex girlfriend's names on
it. So I give a quick shout out to some other friends of the show that also produce content. One, what's Paul been playing? What's Paul playing today? Shit,
what's Paul playing? You pulled the Dave.
What's Paul been playing today?
Because he did. I think he's gonna play through all of Final Fantasy II and put it up.
Yeah, he's started a long play. So
nice.
Please keep keep that up because that's going to be a feat.
Ramon Castillo still has Countdown's Corner going, so check him out. We'll have a link to his channel in the show notes.
Definitely.
Let's see. And then Phil Hawkins has his own parenting blog called Filthy Fathering.
Yep. And he is an excellent writer. How many posts does he have?
I don't know.
I've read one. So I hope he has more than one because he's a good writer. He's a funny writer.
And a lot of the stuff that he'll write and put up makes his wife very nervous and kind of embarrassed, so you know it's good.
Yeah. And then she gets to feel how our wives feel mm-hmm. every Wednesday and Monday. I want to say to you, Paul Kluel, of What's Paul Playing Today, if you are listening, what I want you to do and your run through, your long play, is I want you to use like the last two episodes of Tadpog as your strategy guide. For Final Fantasy II. So that's going to involve you like going to a lot of places and then realizing that you can't go there. Yeah. And then you're going to go back.
No, you skip the Dark Elf section entirely go back to it.
I want him to point out every time that we screwed this up. Like, these are where those dumb fucks tried to go into the underworld, even though there's clearly no path to get there because they were too goddamn dumb to remember the thing they had just talked about 20 minutes before and how annoying it was.
As you can see here, I don't have Kane, and now I do have Kane.
If someone could take the last two episodes of Tadpog and just write a game facts, just like a verbatim transcript and just upload it to game facts.
I think you fight Gobez, and then he steals a crystal.
I know Tella's an asshole, but I don't know where to get him.
That would be pretty good, actually.
The bard named Edgard.
Oh, that was a little bonus for everyone who made it past all that.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
If any time throughout this game you call it Final Fantasy IV, Miller's going to show up at your house and beat you mercilessly. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Oh. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 13th ranked game, Earthbound!
Chrono Trigger Earthbound.
Yeah.
Miller couldn't get an Earthbound, but...
Nah. No?
No, I don't know why.
So you want to be on for that two-parter as well,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I will... While you guys are recording, let me know, and I will
show up in the middle of it.
I'll open up the strategy guide and jerk off to those two pictures.
He'll call in, nope, you're fucking this one up too. This is where you have to go back to the town to get the item.
Other shit Monday, we might have some Ready Player One, or we have another surprise in the store. We'll have to see. We never really know. Very rarely do we know.
We know as much about what we're doing on Monday as we do about the playthrough of Final Fantasy II. It's just here. It's just spotty. We don't know. We figure it out.
It's a free show.
Enjoy it.
it's a free Game Facts walkthrough. Because they all cost so much. Leave us a 5-star review. Surely we've earned it.
What's fucked up is I actually played through this game again, like in its entirety, specifically for this show. And I don't fucking remember anything about it. It's just like, yeah, this is fun. We didn't even talk about whether it's fun or not. I thought it was fun.
I love this game.
Yes.
So there, we're done with that part too.
So leave it. Pity us. Leave us a 5-star review and write a review. There's a game you want us to half-assedly fumble our way through. Include it in your review.
See, it's normally Dave that shits on the episodes when I show up.
God, I'm about to do it right now. This is fucking
Don't
sucks.
Worry about it. Tyler's got you covered. He's shitting all over it. I show up and everything goes to fuck. I don't know what it is.
So, yeah. A game you want us to play, a co-host you want to guest us on a show, mercy contact, or an alibi. We'll do our best, and that has to be good enough. And so whatever you put on it, we promise we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. We're going to be back. We're going to be back. We promise we'll do better. Please. Stay with us. We promise we'll do better. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. We'll have Maybe I'm a Lion on there.
Yeah.
We'll have this Jars of Clay lounge singer on there. It's going to be great.
DC Talk.
DC Talk was, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. I messed up your rock. you can also find us on Facebook.
He knows not what he does.
I haven't been in the moon yet. You can find us on Facebook.com/Tadpog. Some cool people there doing cool shit. If you find your way there, just send us a like. We really appreciate it. Mm-mm. You can also find us on Twitter. We are @Tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I know. Like I said, Tella has @Tadpog. So I don't know. Convince them to cast Medio, and that'll take care of that problem for us. You can call us if you want. You can call us at 270-883-2555. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. You can also text us if you want. We like video game questions. We like Ninja Turtle questions, apparently. We like Platinum Girls questions. Send us a text for the next episode of Manpog, where some wives are going to be on there. If you text them dirty shit, they might say it. And we'll all like that, me included. Mm-hmm. So try to do that.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys, for coming on.
Yeah.
Persevering through all that with us.
Yeah.
It occurs to me that the last time that I was on as a guest host, we had a really, really disturbing set of phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as I think about you offering to be somebody's alibi,
Yeah.
I wonder if that's not a dangerous game you're playing.
Well, see, he called in and asked us to be his alibi for something he had done.
Right.
Yeah.
And we agreed. That's legal, right?
That's how this
You work in government. That's legal, right?
I don't know what...
He's not a lawyer.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Oh, good luck with that.
our intro song, which we didn't ask last time because we were just begging to be sued, is Moves by Sycamore Drive. Mm-hmm. And a link to that track. I know you guys know this. That's why I'm just doing it. It can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Yeah, we're veterans.
You guys know.
So until next time.
Are we going to do it in Josh voice?
Yep.
Okay.
I gotta quit smoking.
He must fall asleep. Let's stick my dick in his mouth and he just turns up.
God, you know that's gonna be the stinger.